And again and again. Again and again.
Jiminy Jiminy.
Hello, welcome to the 12th Man Podcast. Today is a good day to pod hard with me, John McKenna, Hans Gruber, and my son, whatever happened there, Declan Merrin over there.
Hello.
Hey, how you doing? 12th Man Podcast.
Nicely done.
Nicely done. You want to get in touch with 12thmanpodcast@hotmail.com, get on the email there, or at 12th Man Podcast on the Twitter. Get on the Facebook page as well, the 12th Man Podcast. Just give it a Google search, you'll find it. Some lovely stuff going on over there. It's really Ruth Tobin over there, and that is not actually my son, Nicola Marin, over there.
Hello, again.
Well, you might be, but...
But it's all happening on the Facebook page, just to say.
It is happening on the Facebook. What's going on over there at the moment?
There was talks of Ian Hart having given out about Trapattoni's texts, which sounds raunchy. I uploaded Arsene Wenger's full script of how mad he went in it, and a little bit of a Bradford song, which we're going to get to.
Yeah, well, we'll get to that now. After hearing Bradford's Cup Final song, which you might have if you have been on the page. If not, get on the page.
We'll put it at the end of this episode, let's face it.
You might well get that at the end of it. We've all seen it. After hearing it anyway, lads, what song would you have a team cover?
Okay. Yeah, so
you
it's kind of like...
Do you want to say it?
Yeah,
it's your idea.
Yeah, I'll start with it. For me, I debated, this one ended up wrong. It was one of the first ones that came to mind. It seems this Harlem Shake thing seems very prominent on the internet. So I just thought instantly of Harlem Shaka Hislop. But
that's not a team.
But I realised that, so I had to change one. So I landed on Kellis's I Hate You So Much Right Now. And it could be for Arsenal, because Arsene Wenger has gone a bit of a mad spree at the moment. He seems to hate everyone and everything.
Okay.
So that's where I'm going.
Okay. Yeah. Not really something you'd use to celebrate getting to a cup final.
No, it doesn't necessarily have to be. It's just an anthem, more or less, for that club at the moment. And that's... I'd like to see Arsene Wenger perform that for himself, really. Vent of frustration.
In fairness, I thought about it. It's pretty good. It's pretty spectacular.
What are you thinking over here, Miss
Well, for some reason I have, I don't know if this is Celtic in me, but I keep thinking of SPL teams.
Yeah.
Whereas like Eleanor Rugby Park for Kilmarnock, like Mr. Tangerine Man for Dundee United.
Beatles in Scotland mashups.
Sgt. Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club Band.
There you go. I know that one.
But I also, yeah. I have... Because we just watched the Bayern match there, and it just came to me, Camp Bayern, me love.
Ah, yeah, go on.
And now a different band, Bournemouth to Run. And now it gets bad.
How many did you do?
I have two more, but
you
they're not
crap.
They're
the
actually
past.
I know it's just they just come to me. They're actually based on players like your Shaka Hislop one. I bet you look good on the dance floor.
It makes very little sense.
Yeah, I know.
He floors
Materazzi. See, that's what I was thinking. You could use it for Materazzi either. Or my last one is Love Will Tear Us Apart.
Ah, nice.
So there you go.
Good luck following that up, JK.
I don't think that followed any of what we said.
I just made puns based on songs of football,
I'm winning so far.
Yeah, well, I was going to get on the Arsenal route as well, because we have watched the Arsenal, but I thought about it. It's one of the first ones I was thinking. The Queen and David Bowie song Under Pressure. I was thinking, get Arsene Wenger, Bold singing that as a duet. Get the team going, get it going on half time.
So two for Arsene Wenger and then a load of ramblings.
Arsene Wenger, Steve
and
Bold.
Bill Tord.
Half time, if the team are losing, get out there singing under pressure, because they are under pressure, you know.
Yeah. I still think I'll come away with the win there. Arsene Wenger, raw anguish.
Yeah, oh, I don't know about that.
Would Pat Rice get any involvement in under pressure? I know he's gone.
Pat Rice, Rice
gone.
Baby.
Rice.
that should have been like that. That would go under a football championship.
Must have been something.
Yeah.
If only it was based around that.
But like, if he'd ever taken over for like a game or two, if Wenger hadn't been there, that would have definitely been it.
I'm sure he was Fingers been suspended for a few. That's anyway,
phenomenally good.
We get on to the football then. Arsenal, not a good week for them.
As usual. Well, how are you feeling after that?
Well, I'm going to get on to it before now. Arsenal lost to Bayern Munich 3-1 at the Emirates, and they got knocked out of the FA Cup by Blackburn at the Emirates.
Team of bees.
Yeah, it's that.
I saw an interesting thing. And wasps. Yeah, I saw an interesting. It was a pointless Twitter comment. It was some guy. I don't remember who. I can't credit him. Sorry, but like he commented basically saying, you know, that Blackburn was it Bradford
Blackburn Bayern Munich,
the Bantams. And then something like bye bye, like BYE as in bye bye Wenger, and then bye bye as in. Purchase. So it was like, oh, it's all these B words that are, but also that was stupid.
And then he got distracted and wrote boobies.
That's pointless. Not a good time of it at all. Bird I mean, you could tell from the opening question involving two Wenger answers that he's not having a good time. Yeah, and also
true,
the news.
True.
Mm-hmm. Well, it was a pretty shocking performance in the Bayern Munich match. I mean, started well for the first 2-3 minutes, and then Bayern scored after 6 minutes. And you just think and say, the one thing you don't want to do at home in the Champions League is concede early. You don't want to concede the away goal really early, because then you go, oh crap, we have to get two. And that's what they did. And Kroos scored. It was a lovely goal. I mean, you can't.
Don't fault Bayern Munich too much. I mean, they're a very good team.
They tore Arsenal apart because they're that good. You know, they were able to get out and they scored that goal. And then they would kind of settle down and, right, Graham, we've got this away goal. Even if we lose here today, if we lose 2-1, we still get that away goal. But they didn't. They won 3-1. I mean, they have 3 away goals. You can't sugarcoat it anyway. And even Wenger afterwards came out and said there's not much hope of getting through to the next round.
He was having a bit of a joke as far as I can hear about things. Like
I say, there's no point. Let's not, you know, beat around the bush as such.
He should have used my point to kind of make things more positive, that at least Montreal won't be cup tied for anything anymore, because they're not in any cup competitions. But
we can go and we can focus on the shit league.
I did text you last night saying, surely you must feel horrible about tomorrow. And you were like, why? I was like, because Bayern Munich are a very good team and Arsenal aren't not playing too well lately. And you said, we can just focus on being shite in the league now. I think it's disappointing more or less. Because we still think of Arsenal in that way, but it's the way like some Liverpool fans still think about Liverpool when we're not that highly regarded anymore. Sorry to be so self-centred to bring it back to my club, but you know, it's as if we think we should be still up there fighting with the top dogs, let's say. We shouldn't be. And maybe Arsenal should consider that as well, that they're not that team anymore, so get over it. That was one thing that I mentioned to you too, and it really annoyed me before, talking about, you know, these Tony Adams and players aren't in there, so they're not winning the Champions League. It's like, well, they've never won the Champions League with Tony Adams anyway, so, you know.
Exactly.
I don't mind Wenger going off and trying something new, but this hasn't worked.
But the whole system has changed as well since those days. It used to be quick counter-attacking football. Now it's all about possession and trying to hold onto the ball and passing around the opposition. It's not working for us. Let's try a different approach. You know, we never change our approach in any game. And, you know, you can't do that. Like, every team changes their approach to the extent that, you know, Barcelona don't, Madrid might, but even Man United do, you know, even Chelsea did, even City do. They change it. We don't go more defensive against a bigger team. We just go, oh no, we'll play our style of football. It doesn't work. And it just, that's what costs us in the end. And, okay, we go out, we play Blackburn, and okay, ultimately unlucky that we didn't score, and very unlucky in the way that they scored in the match, but we still went out and we lost championship opposition in the FA Cup at home, when you clearly expect us to win, which is just shocking.
To quote Gordon Strachan, there's things in football like tactics and that. And you know, there's never been a truer word said, because there is.
He'll bring Scotland far, I tell you.
Tactics and that is what you need, you know. I mean, there's not much else to be said on the matter, because, you know, I don't think people expected Arsenal to get through this, the Champions League. But after that, you definitely know it's over. You're out of the FA Cup, and that's it. You know, all you have to do is get the top four finish.
I mean,
it's the only thing you have to play for.
Let's mention Bayern Munich a little bit in this. I mean, they, as I gave you a little bit of hope before, they've conceded one away goal in the league this year. You know, from 22 games.
They conceded six at home, so Arsenal will go there.
So that's what's going to happen. They give you a bit of hope.
They're ahead of the Allianz Arena.
But they've also scored a lot more at home as well. Like, they've got 30-something. I believe it's 31 or 32 at home.
Yeah, we got a home, though, eh?
Well, you got one today.
And you were lucky to get it. But I think all in all, let's not. I mean, Bayern Munich are a stronger team than they were last year, to be honest, and they got to the final last year.
Yeah. Oh, so they're looking pretty good.
They're up season, there. Yeah. You know, I think we talked earlier about how, you know, Dortmund are looking at still a decent team, even though they've lost a player.
They're still like 15 points behind Bayern.
They're 15 points behind. And, you know, what do you reckon, Bayern at this stage? I mean, I fancy for Dortmund Champions early League. On, yeah. Like, not for a Champions League, but I fancy that they'd get relatively far.
I think, looking at them and looking at who else is around, they probably should be third favourites at this stage. Yeah.
Behind Real and Barca?
Yeah. I think they'd beat United.
You think so? They have in the past.
Yeah, and they weren't even as good. They weren't even as good at this stage. Deal with it. But they weren't the team that they are now. So
are Manchester United a better team, though?
Are they? Maybe Van Persie.
They're romping away with the Premiership, which is arguably a harder league because, I mean, there are a lot of...
Yeah, but there's...
Cannon fodder over there in Germany.
There is... Cannon fodder?
I've never...
It's a German word. There's a lot of very average teams over there. Much like there are in the Premiership, but there are a lot more standard teams in the Premiership. There are harder...
I don't know, like... It is hard to judge because of how solid United are and how much they just grind out results. So, like, I can understand. I mean, if United go out and get, like, a 1-0 result against Real, they'll have a lot of confidence and they probably would beat Bayern if they met them. But I just think...
Which would...
Bayern look like a stronger team. They look like a team with less problems.
Mm-hmm. But only one of Manchester United and Real Madrid are going to go through, obviously, so...
Oh, really?
Well, not what I was going to say before you got sarcastic on it, was it? That means that... Bayern could still be toward favourites.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, it's got to be one of the other that get through, assuming Barcelona get through.
That's what I meant when I said it anyway.
Yeah, we assume these teams get. But then again, Juventus, I mean, if they get through as well, they're a pretty good team and they put it up to Bayern, I think.
Yeah, I know. I'm not saying that Bayern are going to have it their own way and they're going to romp to the final. I know or that, anything but like I'm that, saying. But I just think, you know, you look around and you think, well, who would be better than them if you look at their squad?
Juventus, Real Madrid, and Barcelona.
Really, idiot. Anyway, just to relate back to the point I made a minute ago, like sarcastically talking about history, that was one of Wenger's points. He's been a bit mad in press conferences recently. That was one of his points. History is on our side.
That's pointless.
When talking about the Bayern Munich, that was something that I just cannot let go.
History is all right. Yeah,
history. But happened.
In the last season. Well, he's basing that not even on games against Bayern Munich, but on games against German opposition as if they're all exactly the same. But even if you want to do that, this season, they lost at home 2-0 to Schalke and then threw away a 2-goal lead away.
And again, there's ways that could have been manipulated out of him, as you would see if you read the whole script of what people said to him in that press conference. The way it looked like he did fly off the handle a little. But you can see people just winding him up like really badly at the end. You kind of felt sorry for him.
Well, yeah, but he got angry about a very...
Look, it was the same day that Paolo Di Canio left, all right? He was upset.
Well, Paolo Di Canio left at that stage. Anyway, those stats, as you said, they can always like, oh, Arsenal have won 23 games in Germany. It's like, well, it doesn't make any difference. I mean, that was 12 years ago or something. They might have laughed and they couldn't play the German team, you know?
Yeah.
All these stats are just pointless. Anyway, move on. Real Madrid, as we said, Man United won all that.
That's a good point about the whole build-up was about that one game that they played, or the two games, obviously, that they played 2003. I was like, bearing
Sky
whatsoever.
And any other channel broadcast now are always going to do that. I mean, you know, what else, are they supposed to show for the 3 hours before that?
That's true, yeah.
What would we do
They were trying to judge it on that. And it's like, okay, well, there's, what, one player that's going to play that's been in... Well, actually, there was maybe two or three. Giggs and Scholes would have been, yeah. Fair enough. Maybe Ferdinand.
Ferdinand would have been there, yeah.
Whether he played or not is debatable. Woodgate, he's still at Real Madrid, right?
It would have been when just before Beckham left, and Ferdinand would have been there.
Beckham scored.
I thought United were a bit unlucky, actually, if I'm honest. I thought they could have come away with that. That looked like one of those games where you could have come away with a win. I mean, I think they'll feel nearly that they should have.
They probably had a lot. They weren't. I know people said De Gea made some good saves, but I don't think Madrid had any brilliant chances. No,
definitely not in the second half, Dave.
I mean, this is interesting when you mentioned De Gea making good saves, because I wanted to relay a point that you made a while ago about Joe Hart being overrated, and say some of the... He put in a very good performance against Dortmund, if you remember. And I thought De Gea did pretty well. I know, like, they may not have been all as difficult. He didn't save a penalty, but he made some pretty important saves in that game, and no one, you know, kind of jumped up to compliment him instantly. Yeah. I just thought it was a bit strange. I mean, generally we would put Real up there as one of the best teams around. And, and he did pretty well, David De Gea, against Real Madrid in Spain. So,
yeah.
I didn't think he got enough praise for that.
But he did. He got a lot of help from what I thought was a pretty good defence, particularly in the second half. They just didn't let Real near that box.
Definitely, but he still made some important saves.
Oh, he did. Yeah. He did, yeah.
You know, he didn't exactly spill it out.
I don't think that there's... Like you say, all right, there's a few good saves, but there was nothing beyond that, really. There was no, like, God, what a great save. Yeah, you know, there was a few good, solid saves. Which is probably actually a better thing for David De Gea to be doing, because he doesn't make those
Madrid
saves.
You know, Madrid didn't test him in the way that they... we've seen him tested with crosses into the box, or, you know, a little... like long shots that he tends to spill, but, you know, particularly crosses, they didn't put too many in. The one they did put in, well, the particular one they put in, you know, he didn't come out for Ronaldo score, brilliant header,
absolutely
get up,
the hang time in the air was phenomenal. It just looked like he kind of paused. He was like, "Oh, still waiting. Oh, there it is, bang!"
This ball gonna get here.
You know, I saw a few people on Twitter making the point of like, "Oh yeah, but he wasn't really put under pressure." I'm like, "That doesn't matter. I know, it would be harder, yes, under pressure, but the leap he got on, the amount of time he managed to stay off the ground for, was just phenomenal. And the header itself was a very good header.
Did he jump?
Nope. I'm pretty sure his knees were up beside Everett's head. Yeah. Like, it looked like he could have leaned on Everett at that stage. Maybe that's what was happening. He was actually leaning on Everett staying up.
But I mean, he's 6'1" or 6'2" in anyway. Yeah. So when he jumps up, he gets pretty high. Because he has some... I like Benteke. Benteke has a great jump and he's a very tall player. So he covers a lot of space in the air when he gets up and heads that ball. And it was a wonderful header as well, just positioning into the corner. And it's something he doesn't get enough credit for his head, I don't think. People say he's does this and he does that, but I think don't he get a lot of credit
as the second best player in the world? He probably gets enough praise.
Yeah, I know, but heading is one thing he doesn't get any praise
for. Yeah, I suppose.
I think he's one of the best. I said this years ago.
Let's give him enough praise there. Best header in the world.
I think that's still probably the second best.
A bit of a stretch.
You'll probably find out Gary Doherty's the best. He's still the second best behind someone. He's like, oh, for God's sake.
There aren't many players out there that I think can head the ball as well as him as an attacker. I think Benteke said is brilliant because he just has such a leap. That Ailey's good at it, but Ronaldo, I think, is just exceptional the way he gets up. And maybe it's just the way, because it's something else, like another,
I suppose, for that style of a player as well.
Yeah, something else he
can. Yeah, I think
that's probably one of the definitely
the best winger.
Yeah,
who can head a ball.
Yeah,
like
we've seen the likes of, let me name a few Liverpool ones, Jermaine Pennant and Ryan Babel, who count. Yeah, but he wasn't a winger. He was made into a winger. But, you know, for players that, you know, are kind of not there for that purpose, I suppose. The winger is supposed to be the person providing that cross for that person.
Yeah.
And instead, he's not really that much of a winger anymore. So he could be, but he generally is unleashed
and actually, as a
forward.
Could have
like
kind of contributed to...
just like Dirk.
Like, I think it would have helped them so much more if they just put him on the wing in that game.
Against
Rafael was terrible.
Yeah, but he would have tried
it. Rafael was all over the place, particularly that first half. He was all over the place, and then they just didn't get at him enough.
Did they not play him on the wing a lot against Rafael?
They did in the first half. He seemed to drift off, and then they changed around. It's like, well, it's working.
Mm.
Like, he's getting the better of his marker, whatever they, I don't know. I always think you should play to the advantage of your best player.
Yeah, it's worth mentioning, as you kind of tagged that little, giving Phil Jones a bit of credit, because he actually had a pretty good game, I thought.
Yeah, well, he has a unique style of running after a player and just
still think he's a centre back. Still think he's a centre back and should be playing centre back. But yes, he ran around
defensive midfield. He wasn't even playing defense. He just followed around.
He probably just made mad faces at Ronaldo.
He was making mad faces. He just makes incredible faces. Just Wonderful photos of him.
Yeah.
Danny Welbeck, though, he scored a header. Not quite as sensational. But he, no. did, he did manage to lose Ramos for it and get
he
in
did, there. He did alright. It was good. It was a good finish.
Sergio Ramos is a man who likes... He has this kind of reputation. He's, like, he's a good defender. It's like, sometimes you look at him like, how are you able to be a good defender and yet have like all this attached to you? I mean, this phenomenal amount of red cards.
He got sent off the weekend. I think he was 18 or something in his career.
Who was it that some... worthwhile football source commented that he had almost the same amount or up there with Thomas Repke on red cards. That's phenomenal.
He has a sensational because he does get sent off two or three times a season.
Yeah,
that's a wonderful one. This coming after the week when he kind of had a bit of a falling out with Mourinho over the another falling out. I know they don't like each other, but Mourinho saying we can't account for individual errors in games after the Champions League game. Not directly saying to it was Ramos. I'm not saying that was Ramos' fault. He's obviously alluding to that. But he's right in saying that.
Yeah.
You can't account for individual errors. I set my team out. If they make an individual error, if they lose a man for a corner, that's not my fault.
He's right in saying it. Yeah, that's a huge thing we've always stuck with.
But I mean, Ramos stuck with wrong suppose... and is falling out. And then he goes against himself sent off at the weekend, which is just stupid.
Mm. After, didn't he score? He was the first goal scorer as well. He scored and then got two yellow cards.
Can't get sent off anyway.
He scored and then got two yellow cards within like 4 or 5 minutes.
Mm. United beat Reading as well in the FA Cup, so that treble is still on. Ferguson saying that the United team is stronger than the 99 team that won the treble.
Yeah, he comes out with stuff like that every now and
again. I mean, the title looks on up. The FA Cup, it's going to be tough because they probably will play Chelsea, assuming Chelsea...
get through against Middlesbrough.
Middlesbrough, isn't it? They have,
and I'm not sure he'll play as strong a team against Chelsea as well if he's still in the latter stages of the Champions League.
Well,
because he didn't last. I know it's only it's Reading, but they still only beat Reading next round.
I mean, they could get a handy draw, such, but they might get a Porto. They might get who else could they get? Shakhtar. I know not easy games, but they're easier than playing Barcelona, Bayern, Juventus.
Let's assume Porto or Shakhtar go through, which I don't think either will actually.
Porto winning 1-0.
Porto.
Shakhtar drawn 2-2 and playing.
Yeah, I'm just saying. Yeah,
but I know what you mean.
Yeah, okay, well.
An easier draw than. Like than a Celtic. Celtic. Or a.
Oh
an
my
Arsenal,
god.
Maybe.
If United actually managed to get Celtic, I would.
I'd be so happy.
I think there was some match fixing going on in that. They should be relegated.
Speaking of. The United. There's a little tweet up there for you on our Twitter at 12 Man Podcast. But the United game ended, say, a couple of seconds early when United had a corner.
It didn't necessarily end a few seconds early. It just didn't give time for the corner, which is stupid because you should.
There was, say, like 10 seconds left.
Oh, I don't think it definitely wasn't that much.
There was about that.
Couldn't have been that much.
He called it a bit early. He blew up before the 94. You know, and I thought that was a bit strange. I was like,
"Well, United were pretty angry about it, but I think the reason."
But they were on their way. Like, it's not like they weren't.
They were
set up for the corner.
Yeah, it was.
And it was 94 when he. I remember watching the time at the time.
Yeah,
like,
okay, yeah. We know he did it, but the reason he blew it probably was because he wanted to get the game over. Because I don't think the ref had a hand in that game at all.
I'm joking at the fact that matches against stuff like that.
No, but I know you're not saying that, but I think the reason he blew it up is because he called himself, I don't want United scoring now. I don't want something controversial happening now.
Mourinho will end his career in France.
Because he didn't control that game at all. That was terrible. It was awful.
Anyway,
we move on. I thought the referee in the Celtic Juventus game was also pretty poor.
Yeah,
there was an awful lot of pulling in the box.
How are you feeling a week on after that?
Still hurting.
Yeah,
Juventus won 3-0.
Quite upset on the night.
I was, yes. I mean, you have to sit through now. I apologise.
I thought they were very unlucky, but it just pretty much proves that you can't make silly mistakes like that.
It's one of those things where you think, if we lose this match, it's unlucky, and we're 3-0 down. But I'll give it like... We were obviously.
I would say it was totally bad luck.
Like stupid mistakes. Like F.A. Ambrose was a big pile of poo.
Yeah, I mean, he came back and said he wasn't tired. The manager should know better in a situation like that. I know it's an important game.
Yeah, he flew in that day, like.
But he's been away for that long. You know, you should know better. I was more
frustrated with the inclusion of Mikael Lustig at right back, which he's not much of a right back, and Adam Matthews was on the bench, and Mikael Lustig was. Awful in right back. There were so many occasions where I was like, what's Scott Brown doing in right back? I was like, where in God's name is Lustig?
I don't think the scoreline is too debatable though. When I say unlucky, I mean, you know, sort of, ah, unlucky, little pat on the back.
Yeah, I know.
It's more or less deserved. Celtic's attempts on goal were more or less tame and from outside the box. They had one or two that were...
Juventus only had four in total, didn't they? I think
See, that's the thing. Like, it's unlucky in that sense that on another day, maybe another referee would have decided that Lichtsteiner trying to tear Gary Hooper's skin off in the box might have warranted perhaps a foul. Maybe it's a foul.
That was very frustrating to watch.
Yeah,
that,
really. It really was.
What
was
more annoying for the referee was that he stopped the play. He booked the two of them for doing that. Carried on, even though the same thing was happening.
Yeah.
That's... it doesn't make sense. If it's a foul when they're not in play, then it's a foul when it's in play.
Yeah.
And it's going to have to be a foul one way or the other, so you're going to have to make a decision. Mm. You know what I mean?
It was very much he didn't want to call a penal. He didn't want to call a freak against. He was just like, I'm going to book you both and see what happens.
Yeah, it's super. So. There were times in the second half in particular when Hooper got pushed at one stage.
Yeah, Hooper got shoved into the net. Yeah,
yeah.
Even past, they were both in the goal, and he got shoved into the net. Yeah.
It's just absolutely ridiculous.
Yeah.
We think Ambrose's header was their best chance.
Yeah, definitely.
So I mean, there weren't many great chances other than that.
No, but if you look at the other side of the coin, aside from the first goal, which shouldn't have resulted in a good chance. Juventus didn't really have any chances either.
But
they took their chances, and that's the important thing.
I think we talked about it before the game, and I predicted a 3-1 scoreline. Ultimately predicted that Juventus are far more clinical in front of goal.
Yeah.
And Celtic would make these kind of silly mistakes that, you know, as it I suppose, not in my favour, but it aided my cause towards saying I predicted 3-1. It aided my cause that Ambrose came back and was as poor as he was, and Lustig was as poor as he was. You know, I think, you know, on another day when players aren't as tired, you know, maybe things would have gone differently. But that's how Lennon had to adapt, and I felt it was a poor decision on his part to let that player take part in that game.
Would you say that this is it for the Celtic team? I mean, Wijnaldum and Hooper might be gone this summer. One of the others, could he be gone?
It's a good question, actually.
It's an interesting point, yeah.
Unless they win 4-3.
But I don't mean that this, but I think they had a great run this year. Those players are definitely in the shop window. I'm not saying they're all going to leave. Yeah, there's a chance that Hooper and Wijnaldum are particularly going to leave. But there are some good players there, but can they be replaced?
It is like...
You know, I mean, Hooper was gone in January.
If you look back at sort of the teams that have gotten credit... The Celtic teams that have gotten massive credit as being good teams in the past, particularly in Europe, this is the first one, definitely in the last 5 or 6 years, that people can kind of riff off a list of players and say, oh, he's a pretty good player, and he's a good player.
And well, it's the best Celtic team they've had in a long time.
Yeah, I mean, I'd say it's...
Better than Tony Murphy's
probably, teams. Definitely better than Tony Murphy's teams. It's possibly better than the last team that got to the second round.
We lost to Milan.
We lost to Barcelona.
Wasn't AC Milan?
AC Milan was in the group stage, but we lost to
Barcelona. Oh, I thought it was AC Milan.
Anyway, yeah, but we had, I mean, like Nakamura, Zarewski. We had some good players, but I don't think it was as good a team as we have now. But it's taken so long to replace that. I think this is the best team since maybe the days of the glory years of Larsson, Sutton, Hartson, Petrov, all of these brilliant players.
Mm.
It probably is, just in terms of sort of individual stature of all these players.
Yeah. Anyway, moving on. Other Champions League, Shakhtar and Dortmund drew 2-1. I didn't see much of it because I was watching the
United match. Yeah,
but I saw it from most of the highlights.
I saw Mats Hummels being very inconsistent.
Hitting the crossbar and then scoring the equaliser.
Scoring a goal, getting caught out for the Douglas Costa's goal, I think it was. The big lump over the back.
I'm not sure if you saw free kick special Darren Serna's goal.
Yeah, I did. Which was a wonderful goal, yeah.
It was a good goal, but it was a very poor foul that led to it, and very poor goalkeeping. I mean, he kind of... It was very close to the middle of the goal, and the goalkeeper...
Yeah, I always wonder about free kicks and goalkeepers, if they kind of just look at them, but... We've all been in that position where we're goal and we look and go, oh,
well, I'm not a goalkeeper. Yeah. I'm very Phil Lam-esque, right, left, back, you know. but the equaliser, the first one from Borussia Dortmund, Lewandowski's goal, was hysterically funny.
It was a great finish though. Yeah, but brilliant finish to open his body and put it into the corner.
But the first shot he missed.
Yeah,
you know, he swung at it. He kind of fell into the box. And collapsed into each other. And it was like, oh, okay, I better finish this the second time now.
To recover and go, I'll put that in there and just kind of turn and put it in.
Yeah.
Brilliant.
To realise that players kind of on his periphery, like he could have just...
No, it was pretty good.
On his periphery.
In his periphery. Yeah. Right in front of him.
Anyway. Like he could have it's one of those no, it's one of those things where the ball comes to you, you kind of swipe at it, it falls back to you, you swipe at it again, but he just decided took a moment and went, right, I have the advantage here, balls at my feet, but I'll just put it in there.
All in all, pretty funny goal. Watch it again, you'll laugh. I mean, it was I know there was don't a little bit of quality in it, but it was very funny.
Valencia lost to Paris Saint-Germain 2-1. They got a late goal though.
Not from Zlatan though.
No. Well, Zlatan managed to get sent off.
Yeah, he did.
Valencia got a late goal. Damn, forgot the defender's name. I forgot who scored for him.
That's very brave.
The French defender, I can't think of his name. It's gone out of my head.
Jeremy Mathieu.
No, it wasn't him. It was
Adi Arami, wasn't it?
Yeah, Arami. That's the one, yeah.
There you go.
No, it wasn't Mathieu. Yeah, I
thought a professional.
Jeremy Mathieu, who looks distinctly Irish. He looks very Irish. Yeah, apparently.
Get a picture of him with an Irish passport. Like heard last week.
Zlatan got sent off very late on for a stamp on one of the Valencia players, which is absolutely ridiculous.
Yeah, he'll do that.
They were winning 2-1. You know, a couple of seconds left. See it out. But he could well be suspended for 3 games now, I mean. Which means he'll miss the return leg in Paris.
Yeah, and possibly quarterfinals if they get there.
Yeah, which looks likely that they will, because they have the two-way goals.
They don't have Zlatan.
They don't have Zlatan.
Yeah, but come on.
They do have some other quality players. Lucas Moura was brilliant.
You both know that Zlatan only plays finals, lads. All right, get him there. He'll turn up if he feels like on his day, and then he'll...
Lucas Moura was brilliant, and he's only half a sign. I mean, he seems to have settled him. Now I haven't seen him in the French league stuff, but he was brilliant. Going up the wing, beating players with ease, put the ball to the box for, I think it was the second goal. He just looked brilliant. Verratti as well, the Italian midfielder, looked quite good.
Yeah, he's one of those that's not... He's almost like a Zabaleta of this PSG team, where he's not a big name. He's a really good, solid player to have in that team.
I wouldn't say he's like a Zabaleta.
No, I don't mean he plays like Zabaleta.
I don't think that's right. I think he is a big player. He costs a bit of money. He's very well, highly rated. I think it's just that he's not getting the publicity because there are other great players there.
I suppose he was signed as, like, he will be very good. Whereas all these other players were like, they're obviously dead.
You enter a team of superstars without particularly having done anything big. You're not going to be talked about that much.
I think he is a good player though. Like, I remember I watched a game, I think it was Lucas Moura's debut actually, recently enough, and all the hype was about Lucas Moura and all of that.
And
Verratti was just brilliant.
He just controlled the midfield in that game. I think Benega actually got on top once or twice, but I think he got the better of Benega by the end of the game. You know, showing his skill. It's like when going back to the Celtic game, Scott Brown and Pirlo going at it.
There's two names I don't want to hear in the same sentence.
Yeah, I mean, Scott Brown just running after trying to kick him, and Pirlo just uses his skill and grace to get out of that situation, just turn away and pass the ball with ease, and Scott Brown getting angry. And
it's like it's like when you just cross the street away from a scumbag who's shouting things. I'm just gonna go over here now. Be gracious over here.
Turn up my iPod.
Walk away.
Listen to this podcast more.
What podcast is 12?
That would be bad though if they started screaming at you and then you laughed at one of our many witticisms.
Careful in public.
Careful now, lads.
Oh, how we laugh.
You know that sort of thing. Let's move on to the FA Cup.
Oh no, come on, we talked about your clubs. What are we going to talk about mine and the good they did?
The good old FA Cup. Good old FA Cup. All of Everton 2-2. Big match smick at the goal.
It was a cracker. It was what the FA... When you hear... I get fed up sometimes of hearing ESPN, bad in ESPN pundits and you know... same kind of voice. Sometimes when they're on the same panel, I don't know
who's
talking.
Everything's crap.
But like, I get sick of
there needs to buy players.
I get sick of hearing all these guys talk about like the magic of the FA Cup when it's like, you know, you know, say a Luton Millwall game that Millwall ran away with. Like, oh, but it is though, isn't it?
Yeah.
I know they lost, so like, the, I know they lost like 4-0, but there is that magic that they could have nicked 4 bags.
Yeah. It's a bit like the Chelsea Brentford. Okay, great. Yeah. The first time, then Chelsea just bring it back. Like, spanked them.
Yeah, that's not magic, is it? That's relatively tame and could happen.
Not magical.
Yeah, but I thought, you know, this game pretty much had it in fairness. Yeah. It was one of those games where Everton did dominate,
although if Everton
probably should have finished more chances, and were overall better than Oldham. Even Oldham's first goal for me shouldn't have gone. Like, Everton should be defending that far better. It's pathetic, but it was just
look at Darren Gibson. You knew I'm going to chase you back, and then stop.
Critical moment. You could see it coming for like 20 minutes. You're like, Everton are not scoring here. Surely Oldham are going to, like, wait till the 89th and a half minute, and they're going to get a bad, like...
Well, it's the 94th,
probably
it was.
Foul goal, and it was the 94th.
Luckily, the ref had to take the corner.
The ref went briefly blind.
True that.
And missed a foul on Tim Errett, as well as the goalkeeper's, like, the goalkeeper, you know, butterfly dive in the air.
But there were so many players in there, the referee couldn't see the foul.
Yeah.
If you can't see it, you can't give it. And rightly so, it was allowed. Yeah. Matt Smith got in there, got on the end of it.
Surely he saw the hands.
He was
I mean, at the top of the pile of players is these two large Mickey Mouse gloves. It's like,
Matt Smith, the goal scorer, he's got to be fined by the club for throwing his shirt away.
Yeah.
Because did you see it before the
because
match?
Because they don't have the money to replace it. The cup money he's made you from this replay.
Yeah.
Could you not, like, maybe go slap on the wrist, you know, fake fine, you know, he has to buy another jersey.
Yeah.
Go down to the fan shop.
Yeah. I'm sure there's plenty of people who
sign
have
a few jerseys.
Matt Smith on the
I'm
back
sure
of their jersey.
Who,
this
like,
he can't really
give
rip it off them though.
His jersey.
Yeah, that's true, yeah.
That would be, you know,
that'd be pretty cool, yeah.
That would be the answer to it. It'd be funny if it's like, oh, we don't have any more jerseys. The kid man's like, crap, get going off the fans quick.
It sounds a bit like the FAI, where it's like, we don't have any spare jerseys, but you have a marker.
That would be good, Oldham fans. Come on, step forward, and any really like big 6'4" Oldham fans, we need to give Matt Smith a new jersey.
You can imagine like loads of kids being like, "Oh, I'd love to give him my jersey."
Yes.
It's like,
can't fit.
He's 18 foot. He's not gonna fit
but
in that.
It was so good as well. Sorry, back to the cup tie. It was so good as well because he had been injured and wasn't playing, and he was like, obviously, for those of us who don't watch Oldham week in, week out, we're sorry, we don't have time.
Or access.
But, well, come on, man, fly over, cheap flights to Oldham.
Let's get it going.
But like, you know, for those of us who don't watch it week in, week out, Matt Smith was the one we knew last time.
Yeah,
the Liverpool
he's
game.
Scored the goals
and it was
Liverpool,
like,
yeah.
Come on, get him on. And they did at 94th minute. Just ridiculous.
What about Tim Howard's saves? Very important saves towards the end.
Two very good saves, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, it wasn't all, you know, as you said, you could see it come for 20 minutes. It wasn't all Everton at the end. You know, Tim Howard has made two good saves there. Oldham were really putting them under pressure with some long balls up the pitch. It was a brilliant one that went across the pitch, but they didn't manage to score from it, though. And in the end, I think, you know, they deserved that goal, but the way they played in the last 20 minutes. I mean, okay, it was long ball football, but it worked. And they,
let's make it clear. We don't have a problem with long ball football, so... You know, there's no point in being like, oh, well, they scored from like that football that's not as classy looking. But, you know, Everton aren't in the category of like, they're not big boys. You know, they have some big, tall, strong players that really should have done better in that game. I mean, Jagielka's goal showed that. He wasn't being wrestled.
And each of me is another
who scored. But Jagielka and each of me say in particular, you know, Jack Elf has been wrestled. They probably could have gotten a penalty for that, but he still scored anyway, and there was no...
Pretty nice energy.
He didn't get to celebrate because the man was still lying on top of him after he scored.
It was terrible goalkeeping, though. The goalkeeper comes out and kind of jumps into the two of them. Stand your ground. Yeah. Like, you probably saved that easily. Just crutch it. Because it was such a simple header from Jack Elf.
Can happen to the best of them. Manuel Nor Lorik Chesney. Chesney.
Lorik?
Lorik? Wojciech?
Whatever. W in it.
I think if...
County.
I think if you know, a lot of other teams, I think, would have crumbled there at the playing all of them, because Everton are one of these teams who they never give up. They'll always give 100%. Moises is still at the team. I think there were other teams that could have gone there and lost. I mean, we saw
definitely
Liverpool.
Yeah.
I think, you know, if
other teams like my team,
I think if Man City had gone there, they would have got some hell of a game, because they would have been the kind of team that would have had to run out up for it. You know, some small, a lot smaller players, stuff like that. You know, it's not that Yeah,
another point.
All kind of football just puts other teams off. But Everton are one of those teams that work really hard. And they struggle to get that draw.
I think a large thing of that hard working as well is they still have the calibre of player. You know, when people give out about Arsenal without that calibre of player, Everton have that exact calibre of player that Arsenal might want to raid and take all of their good players. Because, you know, they have a good, solid, strong backbone. I mean, you mentioned Nietzsche. I wouldn't really rate Nietzsche that highly, but he's still there and he scores every now and again. He's a strong player, you know. I think it's important that they have these kind of solid players who are able to, who are Premier League standard. Maybe not Nietzsche. Jackie Elka and Fellaini, the likes. Premier League standard, but can still fight. Won't, you know, as you drop down the leagues, they're not going to shy away from a game then, you know.
They have the right mind frame. Yeah. Which is probably the problem that's with Arsenal. It's like,
I'm going to disagree. I'm going to say they also have players that aren't up for it.
See, that's the thing. They're not in the right mind frame. They think like, we could probably just like pass our way through this team. Yeah. I mean, it's only Oldham, and then
Physically, they don't have attributes as well.
That's not wrong.
I think Arsene Wenger said that it was complacency that cost them the Blackburn game as well, which is just stupid because you're thinking, why are you getting complacent about the team in the Championship? It's like, you don't win against like some of the worst Premiership teams. Don't be getting complacent against teams that you might lose against, especially in the Cup. You know, you can never take that for granted.
What did he say about what caused the Bayern Munich game? Like,
shitness,
voodoo, or
anyway, yeah. Moving on, Millwall beat Luton 3-0. There wasn't any fights, you know.
I think that was the thing. Is that why it aired? Because that was the only match on telly, wasn't it?
Yeah, I think they just wanted to get out of the way early in the morning.
It's
probably shown. It's like there might be a fight, but
exactly. That's what I thought. Like, I thought it was a bit.
Even a crowd draw, and then ITV probably sends some people to sit in the crowd to get them going. It's like, oh look, he's chanting, throw a petrol bomb at him. But no, we don't need this. Millwall haven't really been doing well in the league, but they're doing well in the cup now because they're what are they in the quarterfinals now?
Yeah.
I mean, it's all going well from somewhere.
I mean, as you said, United and Chelsea got through in the 4-0, and United are probably looking like they're going to get Chelsea. So that will leave Millwall. I don't think all of them get through, but all of them being there. Wigan. A couple of decent lower, like, not lower league.
Well, Man
City
look like they're gonna.
Yeah, but
they have easiest path to the final now.
Possibly, but they need it, don't they?
Well, they beat Leeds 4-0 pretty convincingly as well.
Yeah, it was a
lovely touch by Tevez for the first goal.
They actually looked in that first half an hour or so. They looked like they genuinely wanted this.
Yeah.
And they went for it.
Again, I wonder, is it that, do they want this enough? Like, some of the players there, you know, some of them are want away. You know, we talked, Tevez wanted to leave last year, Balotelli's just left, Dzeko's getting left out of the team a lot of the time. You know, Aguero's trying, maybe not necessarily.
Even Aguero and Tevez have some real quality there. Tevez doesn't really want to be there, but beyond that, I don't think Dzeko's a great player, you know, they've got.
I think he'd probably get on elsewhere. He's one of those, you can't explain it, but not in the Premier League or at Man City, maybe.
That's the thing. I think Man City need some more quality players, because you go and think, oh, they have loads of money. It's like, Jez Milner, I don't think he's good enough. Gareth Barry's not good enough. You know, they have other players in there. Like, you know, Zabaleta's going a long way. But, you know, the defence is okay.
Even Javi Garcia, you must have question marks over, because
they spend all this money on crap players. Yeah, Rodwell, Sinclair, like, all this crap.
Did Sinclair play?
I hope not.
No.
He really has not played. I don't think I've seen him play that much.
No, I haven't seen him.
I haven't seen him at
all. Yeah, I don't remember.
I know he has been.
And now he's missing a cup final with Swansea. Chuffed.
Exactly. We'll move on to Swansea actually there. They're playing the cup final against Bradford next week. Bradford, we mentioned with their song.
Bantams.
Go Bantams.
Hashtag Bantams.
Liverpool played Swansea, the only Premiership game of the weekend on Sunday.
Yes, 5-0 finally here.
5-0 to Liverpool. I'll get in there before. An absolute disgrace with Swansea. And if I was a Swansea fan, I would want my money back for that. Absolute disgrace. They failed in the third choice team. Not even the second choice. That was full of players.
I'd say second. And
there were players in there I'd never even heard of.
Yeah, but that's because you haven't heard of some players in their second choice team.
No, but I mean, we know a lot of the Swansea squad.
Loudrup apologised after he did.
It was an amateur performance. They were shocking. They were at the back. They were calamitous.
Will he get fined now the same way Mick McCarthy did?
Who?
Loudrup.
I don't know. I didn't know. That would be unfair now, because you have to register a 25-man squad.
Yeah.
We had the discussion before that I think if you play within that 25-man squad, that's okay. But if I was a Swansea fan, knowing that he's admitted that he's played a weaker team because they've got the cup final, being a Swansea fan, travelling to the Liverpool game, and knowing your team's going to lose, I'd ask for my money back.
I don't know. I think I'd understand the way if they're... I mean, no one probably expected
Liverpool did it a few years ago against Fulham. The Champions League final was coming up. They played a weak team against Fulham. Fulham won the match 2-0. If I was in that position, I'd go, you on purposely put out a weak team. Like, okay, there's no guarantee we're going to lose, but in this case, Swansea are playing a team who are around their level, if not slightly better, in theory, in Liverpool. You don't...
I'll take that.
You don't
take that as a compliment.
Well, I mean, just in league positions as well, yeah. You don't put out a weaker team. In I know you can understand why you did, but if I was a fan, I'd ask for money back.
But
definitely.
They do have, like... They had a week before this game. They have a week after it to prepare for the match. Like,
yeah.
It's not...
It's more injuries they're trying to avoid.
Yeah. But you don't have to...
I know he's actually a hard tackling team.
Yeah, you don't have
yeah,
to.
Yeah, you never know.
Carragher was in there as well.
but you could say, right, we can't afford to lose Michu. We can't afford to lose Keith. Maybe like
Key.
Yeah, but like
how
would you might be able to say we could afford, like not we can afford to lose, but it, is it not worse to lose a match and just go out there and just be completely limp and be crap?
But that's
like,
the thing, the performance was so bad as well.
How disappointed would Key have been not to play against Steven Gerrard? Remember that interview? So you go back to Key when he got to England from Celtic.
He wanted to, I don't remember.
It was when he went to Celtic in the first place.
No, it was when he came. Are you sure Celtic. He came from Celtic to Swansea?
It was when he went to Celtic.
Oh, you're right, actually, yeah. And, they asked him about... I think the only English he had
was Steven Gerrard.
Because they asked him a couple of
questions. It was almost literally
and
like
His answers were like, I want to be like Steven Gerrard. I like to play like Steven Gerrard. I'm Steven Gerrard. It's like, you're not Steven Gerrard. Stop it.
There were two penalties in the game.
Because
Swansea were so bad at the back.
Yeah, but look, while we're being so negative about it, can we talk about how positive it was for me and Liverpool?
Coutinho
got
a goal. Storage.
He wasn't very good.
I didn't think they
gave him praise. I was watching Match of Day 2 and obviously it was the only game, so they had to kind of fill a bit of airtime. And
so
Jesus. I want to turn it off straight away.
Swansea's chairman's wife makes the best pies in the land. Goodbye, Kevin Day.
I thought, just from what I saw, I didn't see the whole game, but Coutinho scored a goal and people were like, oh yeah, he's going to be really good. And I was like, but he was just really erratic. He's just like very, I'm going to run here now.
I saw you're playing
on the left wing.
Yeah.
I don't know.
They swapped him over briefly between himself and Downing. And I can say he wasn't erratic. He was decent in spells. He wasn't involved as much as you'd like him to be. But for his first Premier League,
First start,
yeah, in the Premier League. You know, he did all right. He made a couple of important runs and didn't. He wasn't too. You know, he's not playing as an out and out left winger in that game.
He's a left midfielder.
Still had defensive duties to do, and he did an all right job. It especially helped to have Jose Enrique back, who I'm sure you saw.
Got a goal.
You saw that goal. Mm-hmm. That was a really well worked goal.
Yeah.
The football was beautiful, and that was one thing. I know it was a weaker Swansea side, but. I mean, I'm fed up of hearing that Liverpool play this great football because we don't. And it really frustrates me because it's like, that's not what great football is.
Well, the 20, only person...
20 minutes of
the only person
right
says
passing.
It plays good football is Brendan Rodgers.
And Steve Clarke. Steve Clarke claimed we played the best football in the league and then we lost to them.
Yeah, he was there before.
Yeah, but you know, it's... I don't think it is only... I think a lot of commentators, because Brendan Rodgers is there, bring to... You know, they bring this attitude that Liverpool play great football now. And it's like... We're very far away from playing very good football. We bring spells of 10 to 15 minutes. I've said this so many times, but we do. And that game was 90 minutes of good football. And I know it was a weaker side, but I got to really enjoy it. You know, Luis Suarez was immense, I have to say.
He was so good. The fact is, Liverpool are not going
to
be playing teams that week.
But we played Oldham and lost.
Yeah, that week.
We played Oldham and lost.
Yeah, but you still played away from home.
And as we were saying, Oldham are more up for it.
Like, that's one of the team were just amateur.
You think they wouldn't be, though? This is a chance to show... I don't think there was one good Swansea player out in the day.
Yeah, but there's always, like... I don't think it was their mentality or anything about that. It was just they're not good enough. And,
yeah.
Like, that was the problem.
It. They're just not good enough. And Barini had a horrible injury at the end. I'm not sure what happened.
He broke his shoulder.
Yeah, I'm not sure if they even said dislocated, because dislocated usually doesn't take that much.
Well, he's dislocated his shoulder before, though. He just looked at it for Chelsea.
I'm not sure if they've announced the injury, but they basically said he's damaged his shoulder and he looked in a lot of pain.
He was screaming. And you could never usually hear a player scream like that.
Yeah, it's horrible.
I once saw many years ago, Damien Duff got injured playing for Chelsea. I think he only moved there. It was under Mourinho. They were out in Asia playing one of these pre-season friendlies. And it was, I'd say he's about 10 years ago, 9, 8 years ago. And he went out and he dislocated his shoulder and they popped it back in the sideline and he played on.
It was horrible.
They showed it and all. It was like very, very disgusting. I think it was one of those like Asian tournaments. I think it was just after Mourinho joined, or yeah, it was around that time. Definitely, he'd only got there. But yeah, we're not really sure what was wrong with Mourinho, but he was screaming in agony after the match and did not sound good. Or when it happened, and it did not sound good. Even when he was going down the
after
tunnel,
a match, he continued playing and then realised.
Even after he's gone down the tunnel, he's still screaming in agony and they're trying to bring him down. It's like, what's wrong with him?
It's you know, disappointing. You know, he's just back from a pretty bad injury already. You know, you would hope. And the weird thing is,
he's out for the season as well.
Yeah, the weird thing is, amidst this, Fiorentina have come out and said they're interested in him. It's like, little lad, you know, that's not what he needs to hear now. Oh, maybe I'll go back to Italy.
Speaking of Fiorentina, Alberto Aquilani with a wonderful back heel.
Swap! It'll take him for a little while.
Former Liverpool player Aquilani, reeled in the years. You know, a lovely tour and a little flicked it on. And Fiorentina, who trashed Inter 4-1, wasn't it?
4-1, yeah.
I mean, Inter aren't nearly as good as they used to be. But
yeah, but I mean, they were 4-0 down. It's really tough for them.
AC Milan won as well again. I think Balotelli scored. He's got...
We did.
4-5 we'll or something, again. I think, as well. He's doing really well since
he disciplined as well this week?
Nah, probably.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure he was. I'm pretty sure he was stick for something.
There was controversy surrounding him the other week when the vice chairman or whatever he is at AC Milan came out and said something very unsavoury around him using the N-word, which he shouldn't
use. Oh, really?
Yeah, this was last week. Sorry. It was last week.
I didn't hear that now.
Yeah, which was just after
let's get him sacked. How about that?
I think it was actually Berlusconi's brother, so that's probably not going to happen. Our son, one of the other, I'm not sure.
Either way,
Django Unchained.
Yeah. Mario Unchained.
Yeah. Balo Unchained.
But yeah, the loss for Inter Milan basically is taking them out of, not maybe Champions League spot. What is it, top three now?
It's
taking them out of Champions League spot.
I've noticed that
now.
Sky Sports still have, when they do the European Leagues, they have one on the side, and one of the graphics that they still have the top four in Italy as, you know, the cut-off point. So it seems to me they have not Champions League. Like,
get it
right
together.
So I might send an email.
But yeah, I mean, that poor result for Inter definitely knocked them down a bit, you know?
I mean, they just... It's unlikely that they get in there. I mean, you know, you've got Juventus top of the table. You've got Napoli there as well. You've got AC, you're on a great run.
Lazio are third.
Yeah, Lazio... I don't know if they can sustain it. They've got a very small squad. But if they could, it'd be well for... I think AC Milan might wind up staying in it the way they've been playing. But who knows? Who knows?
Maybe Fiorentina? Not too far off. I mean, they're just behind Inter.
If they could beat the team around, like they could trash Inter like that, that's a fantastic result.
Yeah.
I mean, not just beating Inter, but trashing them. Because that's...
Could have used a bit of Coutinho, if you ask me, Inter. Unlucky.
Yeah, well, not really. Lazio, we mentioned Lazio there. We move on to one of their former players. Paolo Di Canio.
Oh.
He's left Swindon.
That was a nice link. Well done, sir. You deserve a little bit of a mention. But sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt.
He's left Swindon. It's
devastating.
He's mentioned he muted it a week or two ago. He said, I might leave if my position's come untenable. He stayed there. And he's come out. Monday afternoon, said, I'm leaving, I'm stepping down because basically the players have been sold from under his nose. The takeover, I think, something happened. There was a transfer embargo at the time. He couldn't sign any players. It was all up in the air, and he's decided to step down, which is sad, I think, because he was a character. Definitely a character. And I'd love to see him back in English football. Cause,
I mean, it was ultimately down to the sale of one certain player, wasn't it?
Yeah,
I mean,
they sold somebody, one of their players, and he wasn't...
I can't even remember the name.
He wasn't informed about it, which was the problem. He left, and... I think it's sad.
Yeah, I mean,
we're missing out on all these characters like Balotelli.
I mean, Sky Sports showed the wacky Paolo Di Canio reel after he left, him singing Top Loader, him
which
going League One, you know, all that kind of stuff, and it was you were like, oh no, quick,
there's a clip, and I hadn't seen the clip of singing Top Loader.
Yeah, no, I hadn't either.
And
actually,
it's obviously after they got promoted last season, it's a gig at the stadium where Luke's and he's singing Dancing in the Moonlight with them. And it's like, what the hell is this?
I got I sent you the Bantam stuff and you sent me that pretty much straight after we finished playing football last night. But yeah, it was you know, we came home to disappointing news of that. It's just bad stuff, you know. We could have really used just rumours going around that he take the West Ham job.
Well,
but it doesn't. Yeah, I know. Yeah, yeah. But I don't know. I don't think I'd be devastated to see Sam Allardyce go on to Kenny O'Dagan.
I'd love to see that.
I think everybody wants that.
It'd be so funny.
He's a legend at West Ham. So
yeah, I know. But I, you know,
why not? It'd be a bit.
Sack Sam. maybe if this is the end of that Celtic team, maybe
get him in there.
It's time for another ex-player to come in, Paolo Di Canio.
I mean,
Ian Lennon's always made he's talked about going to a Premiership club or a Championship club before. You know, he said he might move on in a few years. This is
there was talk of him taking the Leicester job when it was
Martin Ilster.
Yeah,
I mean, just before we get off Swindon, I mean, it's worth knowing that this is quite damaging to them. They're looking for promotion again this year, and what's reported that the backroom staff are going to be leaving as well. Such a radical change in the middle of the year. It's going to be disappointing to them, surely.
Stuck in Ligue 1!
Ligue 1!
Oh, I've been like that for years.
But it's I'm sure, disappointing to them who, you know... I mean, we got to see again the scuffles with like two or three players. You got to forget stuff like that.
The way it's bothering the goalkeeper thing.
What is his name?
He
drags him off basically by the neck and they get a fight out of the tunnel. Yeah, something like that. It was very funny. But I mean, you know, apart from Di Canio leaving, the staff in general leaving, it's disruptive in the middle of the season, and you know,
it's not good. And this is the guy who got promoted last season
And is looking for back to back.
Yeah, so they should be trying to keep him there, but they're not, which is well, especially where they weren't trying though. They did things that forced him out of the club, which is just silly. I think we move on, I suppose.
We persevere.
Bradford Swansea. It's the FAR, the League Cup final, the Capital One Cup final Sunday.
The cock.
It's going to be different, you know.
I love it. The cock final.
Oh, wait to break it down. It's going to be different. It's going to be different this year because it's not two big teams. It's going to be more interesting, I think.
The Bantams versus the Swans.
Yeah.
And you know me, Shane Keane, I've always been a Bantam.
What is a Bantam?
I couldn't tell you. It's a weird way of spelling Batman. Well, that's what I thought. A strange way of spelling Batman. The
dyslexic Batman.
That's what I thought when I mean, you'll hear the song at the end of this, but if you haven't looked it up, look it up, you idiot. But why not? No, Bantam. Like, it's so much easier.
Missed out on a huge opportunity.
Even go with Seal's Kiss from a Rose because it was one of the songs on the Batman soundtrack. Go with Seal's Kiss from a Rose.
Yeah. There's a nice link there. It's like, Bantam kind of sounds like Batman. And Batman had this song on it. And we're using this song.
And Bradford won alone Danny Rose. Sorry, had to use it. They don't really.
Kiss
that's
from Danny Rose. That's good. That's good.
Let's not talk about that. Although, we're you probably do support the Bantams because Swansea's nicknames are Swans and you don't like Swans.
That's
a good point.
That is, I'd rather not announce that as a live recording.
You have a fear of Swans.
I do have a phobia of Swans. It's weird. They scare me. But I was attacked by them. But
as a child,
I survived.
And then as a young adult.
Yeah.
And then as an old adult.
And then as an old adult.
Every day. But no, actually, I would, as much as it would be fun to see Bradford win it, I would like to see Swansea win the cock because I would like to see Swansea win the cup because I think they're more. I enjoy Swansea football. I enjoy Laudrup.
He's
I think been a pretty good man. He's done a good job taking over from what seemed a difficult job to follow up. So they certainly deserve a cock.
I'd love that headline on Monday morning.
Swansea win cock. Laudrup
takes the cock.
Goal line technology. It's going to be introduced for the 2014 World Cup.
Well, it's been introduced in the Confederations Cup.
It's already been in the Club World Cup as well.
Yeah.
And now it's going to be introduced in the Confederations Cup. Gefedertiators Cup.
As you have written down.
As you spell. No, the Confederations, and it was used in the Club Championship.
Yeah, it was already used in that. I don't think it's actually used. I don't think there's any case for it.
Yeah, see, there was no need for it, but it was there.
It will be trialed. The Federation's Cup this summer.
Yeah. Hopefully, we'll have a lot of incidents.
Yeah.
Just so we can judge it.
I mean, these incidents rarely happen. I know they...
Yeah, I know. It's so hard.
It's pretty cool to be around for this, like, to get to talk. We're obviously going to have to stay here till 2014 now.
Yeah,
that's a commitment we're going to have to make so we can talk about this.
Actually, it's probably one of the first issues that came up on this podcast was goal line technology.
Yeah, all the way back to...
Back to the World Cup in 2000.
All the way back to fall in line with whatever shite hawk at Football 365 managed to squeeze in a mention of Frank Lampard's... goal, you know,
apparently has pushed through this thing 3 years ago.
Poor article.
I'd like to give my mention to Pedro Mendes' goal against Man United.
There you go.
Roy Carroll.
Forced this whole thing.
That would have been my original thought for it. But, it is one of the first things we talked about. It's excited that it's kind of come along as we've been talking about stuff like this. So we kind of get updated on it. You very rarely have something like that.
But now
it's like Ronaldo's weight.
He's lost weight.
It's finally come to this point, and I'm sure he'll put it back on when he eats like a dozen, you know, muffins or something like that.
Can he
every
get
day
himself
for next year
until can the 2014 shape for
can
the
2014
World Cup? Oh, I would
love that.
And then score a goal that's a judge to
Ronaldo's
be.
Still older.
I think Roberto Carlos retired though, didn't he?
I'm not sure, but Rivaldo's still playing. Ronaldo's only 36.
Ronaldinho only got capped in a week.
Yeah,
get
true.
Ronaldo back in. Imagine.
Just bring in the 2002 squad
Emerson.
Again.
Cafu?
No, not Emerson.
Cafu,
I guarantee you.
No, but listen. Julio Cesar still there. He
no,
was
I think it would have been Emerson. It would have been...
But what was Dita?
I know. Not even Dita. Marcos.
Marcos, that's the
one. Okay. But listen, look, these lads aside, right? Look at that photo. He is in... Just unbelievable
shape.
Like, it's phenomenal shape.
We'll put it up on our Facebook.
There it is. Look at that. Look at that torso, man. I mean, if he's not back in that World Cup squad, I'm going to be...
Look at those luminous shorts.
Yeah, that's weird, actually. But, I mean, no, you could still... Someone must be tracking him. I'm so excited.
He's so excited for those abs. Which is weird.
We've gone off. We've strayed a little.
We'll put that photo up on the Facebook page. It might be up by the time you see this, actually.
Should be.
Because Declan Martin has an obsession with it.
I do, along with the Bantam song.
Along with the Bantam song.
And I'm tweeting, giving Martin Joseph some little bit of credit
the singer,
there.
Is it?
Yeah, the singer of the Bantam song.
They want to get the iTunes chart, so get on and download
it. Download it, yeah. I mean, I'm sure we'll do that.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Just download this.
The version you'll hear at the end of this will definitely be bought legally.
The 12th Man Podcast. That's what you've been listening to. If you want to get in touch, guys, the 12th Man Podcast at hotmail.com. Send an email, fly an email off the way. But I'd say it's better to get on the Twitter at 12th Man Podcast.
I'm making an effort into Twitter lately, so.
He's making an effort with Twitter, Facebook as well. Get on that. Just Google the 12th Man Podcast. I'm sure it's facebook.com/ the 12th Man Podcast. And you'll find us on there. And it's a numerical 12, which I haven't mentioned in a while. You know, it's a 1-2.
That's a t-shirt in the making. Yeah. It's a numerical 12.
Like, if you want to get in touch, do. And if you don't want to get in touch, do it anyway. Right? Thank you, Ruud Tobin over there.
No, thank you.
Thank you, Declan
Martin. Bantam.
Yeah, Bantam for life. Shanky in here as well. Goodbye. See you next week.
When he got the word, he said, I suppose you've heard about Bradford. When I rushed to the window and I looked outside, and I could hardly believe my eyes. So instead of Wembley Stadium, my dreams were alive. Oh, I don't know how we got there, I guess we'll never know. I know we're off to Wembley and we'll put on a show. Cause for many long years I've always been a phantom.
Phantom, I'll always be a phantom.
All those years just waiting for
Going into airplane mode while we get on this airplane of a podcast.
Gonna be on an airplane.
I was just going to the same airplane last night in the academy.
Was that last night?
Mm.
Thought they were playing the weekend. You know I'm gonna break it down.
Your group learning development plan.
Yeah, that's part of the top of my podcast, our group learning and development scheme we're running.
The LMS?
Yeah, the LMS, the League Managers Society.
Lick my sock.
Lick my sock. If you want to lick sock.
Yeah, don't do that.
That's loud. We're a bunch of fun-loving lads.
Fun-loving criminals.
I knew you were going to say that. Jinx, private Jinx, only I can talk in the podcast now.